Welcome to the number 8 hangout for the Weird for Good blog. I want to welcome you back again this week, and I want to welcome again Michael Wright, the author of fatherofone.com, where you can read his work there. Michael, welcome.
Hey, good to be here, Aaron.
Glad to have you back, sir. Always enjoy our discussion. So,
absolutely, me too.
Great. Well, let's jump into this week's discussion topic. And the actual writing that we're going to talk about was called Flips and Flops But Don't Stop. So that's sort of a message about, you know, continuing on even when it seems like you're struggling. But as we've indicated, or as we talked a little bit together, you have read the blog post that really is a fish out of water story this week. Actually a very detailed fish out of water story. And some of the feedback and comments I got on that was that it was a little too detailed, or that maybe it felt uncomfortable to read, as well as if you were an actually fish out of water. So I guess that we produced something with that, with those words. So
mission accomplished.
There you go. So what is a fish out of water? You know, have you ever felt like a fish out of water? And I'm going to keep it as simple as that. And if you haven't read the writing, we're just kind of going through what it would be like if you were flopping around on the bank, if you were actually that fish that was out of the water, that didn't know why you were there or exactly how to get to where you needed to go, but you're just kind of flopping and struggling. And I think we can all relate to struggles of some types in our lives. So that's really where all the detail came from, and how that can really be a sucky feeling. So, that feeling, although it's so painful, I guess the only message here is that we just keep moving. We just keep doing something, just doing whatever we can, and eventually there will be something that comes loose for us. Eventually we'll make it back into the water. But what do you think, Michael, about a fish out of water in your sort of perspective?
Yeah, I think of the flounder, right? You say, I feel like if that was me, I would be a flounder fish. You're just up there floundering around. You know, I'm trying to wonder, how did he got up there anyway in the first place? I mean, he must something must have happened to get him up there in that condition. And I think sometimes I wonder in my own life, in my early 40s now, I'm thinking, well, I must have been floundering for the last decade, because I remember having some specific goals when I was 29, and by the time I was 30, I would have some being in a little bit of a different place. So, but you know, yeah. So you can kind of get stuck and think you're when you're laying up on the shore there as a fish, you're kind of just sitting there. After a while, it kind of gets comfortable. And you forget kind of, you know, what's out there. And you use the good word context in your blog. I like that word. I can totally relate. Yeah, I mean, sitting up there as a kind of just being a fish out of water. Yeah, I feel like a fish out of water today. At work, some pretty technical and difficult situations, and I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing here? It just feels like I'm in the wrong place.
Well, I can completely relate to that, and I think work does bring out some of these, you know, moments where you feel uncomfortable. You know, you feel like there's pressures and tensions pulling you, and it just doesn't seem to flow. You kind of feel like that little moment of pressure. So, you know, how do we get into this place? And I think that's a great question, Michael. For me, I was writing this post last week from about 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. And you know, it was about a specific situation in my life and some specific things that I won't go into detail about, but I can tell you that for me, this was a chosen path. You know, this was something where I said, I'm in this place and I want to move to this other place, but in the context of a fish's life, it was like I had to travel, you know, from one safe sort of pond that I was in, and I want to get up to a different place. So it's like you have to overland travel, and it's like, man, you can't imagine how much that's going to, you know, be painful if there's not a direct route there. And you think, oh, well, I can make it. I can tough it out. But, man, it's a lot tougher than you think it's going to be, you know, to make that kind of shift in your own life. And I'm sure other people have done it more gracefully than me by a long shot. So that's how I got there. For me, in this case, it's a chosen thing. Career change, you know, lifestyle changes, and things that I used to be comfortable with that I want to move into new areas. So for me, the whole context of my life is now different than it was a few years ago. At the end of this writing, I asked the question, as you mentioned, you know, how often can we find ourselves sort of getting comfortable in a context or in a place that we didn't really intend to be, or that we thought we'd be somewhere else, but we never really got there. So we kind of became comfortable about halfway in between on this path, or, not at the steps that we wanted to get to. And is that okay with us? You know, is that a place that we're gonna, if we woke up to that context and asked ourselves, really, are we really wanting to be there? And if we had a choice to change it, you know, would we want something different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think something that's very good to do, and I've done it not as often as that would be beneficial for me, is to, what is the context you want to be part of? What is kind of the life that you want for yourself? Where do you see yourself? I mean, I think sometimes we limit what we can achieve in life because we think, well, my family comes from this origin, and or nobody ever went to college, or nobody ever, you know, had money, or husband and wife, they always fight. My mom and dad, you know, they did this, so that means I'm going to do this. You know, you can write a different story. You can write a different ending to your life than what you've kind of been placed in. And a lot of us, we're born into that. We're born into this context, and we really have no choice over that. And up to a certain extent, up until teenage years, we don't really have much of a say-so. But all those years are like training for us, because we think that's the only method of operation. So we start looking around the shore and like, man, I'm not the only fish here. There's a lot of other fish up here, and their life sucks, but hey, I'm here with them, so if I'm here with them, we can all do a sucky life together. It's not so bad as long as you've got somebody with you. And so I think it's powerful to write your own story, to write your own context. You can see beyond what you, and just let your mind go wild, really. I mean, with what you see your life, not what you think someone else is going to be. I mean, every fish has his own pond, right? Some fish live in a pond and they love it, and some live in the ocean. And they both can give a fish life, you know, and sustenance and being, and, you know, so you have to decide that for yourself.
Man, that's beautiful, Michael. You're inspiring me here, just so you know. Thank you. There's two things that you said that I think are really key here. One is, you mentioned over and over, you know, we think that this is the way it has to be. We think that, you know, these are the rules. Well, you're right on. And that's where I wanted to loop it into today with this story of this fish out of water, is like, that's a very physical reality. You can imagine that. But this is in the mind. The context that we're talking about is within our mind, and it is what we think the structure is. Context, which I'm titling this also, context is king. It's you could use the example of the movie The Matrix, where you know the Matrix was the structure, it was the construct with which in you know the characters live. Half of the time they live within the Matrix, which is the software program, and then half of the time of the movie they're in the quote unquote real world. But you know the context that you mentioned, what we think the structure is, that does live within our minds. And if our parents were a certain way, or our peers are a certain way, or somebody you know around the world is a certain way, and we complete the structure in our mind of this set of rules that we perceive that we are to live by, or that create success if your life looks like this, and opposite create failure if your life looks like this. You know, that whole structure is actually, as you said, it is elastic. It is an imaginary thing. So when we decide, and that's the number two point that you made, when we decide that we want to write our new story, then that canvas that seems like it has so much structure and rules and boundaries, and I can't do things because of this, or I can only do this type of work, or I can only, you know, be this kind of person, or, you know, the only way I have fun is to drink. I mean, I used to have that as one of my rules of what fun was in my context. That canvas becomes blank. And that canvas, in its blankness, gives us, for me personally, has brought a lot of fear and a lot of stuckness and a lot of, you know, worry about how do I want to paint it, or how in the world am I going to repaint this thing into something that I want. But for me personally, it's a journey that I will never regret that I've begun, because I used to think the rules were all one way, and I have pushed and stretched and extended myself in ways that I never thought possible, and realized that the more I can see this canvas as blank, the more creative I can be, and that the more, you know, specifically detailed life that I would like to live, I can repaint my life to be, recreate my story to be. And that whole context can change in an instant, and it's up to us, and it is within our minds. So we don't necessarily need our outside circumstances to change for this process to begin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think something I've learned is it's come from different people in different ways, but basically it's that you'll never become bigger than who you believe that you are. So, I mean, if you believe that you are predestined to a certain condition or a stature or a place in life, if you really believe that about yourself, then that's where you're going to end up. I mean, your mind creates, you know, like your circumstances will be created for you because you think you're that. But if you think, okay, if you have this endless possibility and you put yourself as the artist of this canvas and there are no limitations, and you believe that you are not limited by circumstance or your place that you're at in life now, then you'll become that person that you think that you are, not the person that that other people might see you as. I think that's key too, Aaron.
Yeah, that's awesome. How much we let, you know, what we think another person is thinking affect our thinking. If I could say that, you know, redundantly, but I think that makes sense. You know, if I think you're thinking something, that affects the way I think about things, and even that is part of this make-believe structure and make-believe context that really we can test these things. We can pretend. We can test them by trying on new ideas, like swapping out the idea that if someone else thinks something bad about me, that's a bad thing. You know, I was just watching a Steve Jobs, story on PBS the other day, and they were talking about how he had betrayed so many people, and they didn't pull any punches about, you know, when he needed something from you, he was your best friend, and then, you know, when he wasn't, when he didn't, you know, he distanced himself from certain people, and it's like, okay, but on the other hand, the whole point of this video is that he changed the world, is that he's provided all this wonderful technology and changed the way people communicate. And so they're saying he's a great, wonderful guy, but then they're saying he's a betrayer and some other things in the middle of there too. So, you know, how does that play into our context of what we want to become? Does it mean that it always has to be one way or the other? You can just to be a good guy all the time. You know, could he have produced the same results by just being a good guy? I don't know, you know. But these are things that we can test and play with and shift. And to me, that is what the flipping and flopping of the story of the fish out of water is, you know. That's like a productive use of your time rather than sort of like sitting there and just saying, well, it is what it is, you know. How many times have we heard that? It is what it is.
Yeah, yeah, you hear it every day almost. It seems like, you know, that's just... And I don't remember hearing that 10 years ago. I don't know where that term came from. It is what it is. But I started hearing that a few years ago. It's almost like a... yeah, whatever. That's another one, right? Whatever, you know. Even my dad says whatever. It's like... He's got on the whatever train, you know, like whatever will be, it's like, you know, like you really don't have a say-so? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, that's just, to me, that's kind of pathetic, really. That's just, that's on the mediocre side of life. I don't want to be like whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I'm totally with you. And I think that, we could call it mediocre, but even that would be creating a context around things that I would tend to agree with you. There's probably some people in the world who would like to have what in a typical American mediocre lifestyle is, right? Some people who face, you know, civil war or famine or disease every day in a third world country, they would probably sort of like that. But it does make you question, with so much possibility around us without having to struggle just to find a place to get something to eat every day, let alone, you know, where do I feel like eating today or something, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
With our lives being so comfortable in so many ways, what more is there? What other steps could we take to stretch ourselves or to help others or to, you know, really test the boundaries of where we're at? That maybe other people, you know, have to struggle for just survival. We kind of got survival covered for the most part here.
Well, you can always, I mean, there's plenty of things you can walk in that are uncomfortable. You're doing that right now. I mean, you're it might be simpler and seem easier for you just to go get a 9-to-5 desk job at XYZ Corporation and make a decent salary and just live out your days, retire from there. And that's noble and that's respectable, but you would be giving up some of yourself to do that, I think. You would be giving up your heart to inspire others, to help others. And it would be that, you know, you wouldn't be bettering yourself. I mean, you would be surviving. So really, you're no different than that scenario might be no different than someone who is in a third world country scrounging for food. You just I mean, I've heard it at my company. I've heard it so many times. You go into the office, and after literally after being there for 12 years, and after probably 30, 40, we lost count, layoffs over the years, and then you would see people identify themselves as survivors. I'm like, you're a survivor? That's just pathetic. I mean, survivor? I mean, it's just like, it to me, and I'm thankful for my job. I'll just say that on the record. I am thankful for it, but I don't see myself as a survivor. I see myself as someone that creates every day, that helps people every day, and I would do that regardless if I had what job I had. And it seems like people just get on this raft on the river of life and just get on, and if the raft goes fast, they go fast. If it's slow, they go slow. Not to say that I get it perfect every day. We all are learning, but to never take up the paddle and try to go against it and try to create your own path, that's I'm not sure how I got down this train of thought, but
well, I'm sure glad you did, because that is one of the most raw and tough images that I think I've heard in a while. You just reframed some context for me. It's like, what if I said that the nice house on the subdivision lot, you know, a couple of decent cars in the driveway, and both mom and dad having, you know, quote unquote, good jobs, with, you know, putting away a little bit for retirement every day. What if I called that, you know, just surviving? I mean, that's sort of the picture that was painted there. Is like, that's just the same as someone who's just, you know, making ends meet in a third world country, although it's more physically demanding or, you know, things like that. But wow. I mean,
yeah. Makes me think of there's a scene at the end of Good Will Hunting. I don't know if you've seen that movie before. Matt Damon movie. Mm-hmm. Anyway, at the end, he just wants to, he's resigned his life. He's this super intelligent guy who wants to just live his life, you know, on the construction site with his best buddy. And then they're, after the end of the day, they're drinking a beer, kind of talking about life. And the guy's like, well, did you interview with that tech company, you know, to take on this math position? Because he's a genius. He can get a job making $100,000 a year or whatever and doing what he's using his talents. And he's like, no, I'm just gonna stay around here and work construction, and we'll live in a little house next to yours, and our kids will grow up together. And his friend says, he said, look, man, if you do that, I'll kill you. I mean, I'll literally just kill you, because you're sitting on a gold mine, and all of us would just kill to have what you got, and you're not going to use it. So to me, it's like, that's the difference between someone in a third world country and what we have. It's like, we've been given, so whatever lot in life that you have been given, I think it's your responsibility to take that and use that. Not to say, oh, well, you know, just because I've got it, I'm living in America, I should be happy. And, you know, contentment is a biblical teaching, you know, to be content with what you have. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that what am I trying to say here, Aaron?
Well, you know, you're just rocking it out right now, Michael. You're really letting us have it, and I love that. What I really feel from what you're saying is, and I believe this to be true, we're all sitting on gold mines. You know, I really believe that. When I see people in their, where, like you said, wherever they're at in their lot in life, I see the gold mine in them. And I see what they can produce if their context, if someone could help them awaken to their context, that it is elastic and it can change. And it was created once by their mind, and it can be recreated by their mind in a new way. So that gold mine, I love it that you mentioned that the friend was gonna kill him or punch him out or whatever. And it's like, you know, someone outside of you can see better than you can your own possibilities. And
yeah, that's what a coach does. Yeah, I mean, you've done it for me in the past. I mean, you've pointed out things that you've seen in me, and you know, it's really important to have that kind of a person in your life to do that, because you, when you try to go it alone and you think, okay, well, this, you know, I think what you do for people and what coaches do, they open up possibilities. And and going back to your canvas analogy, instead of having a canvas, you know, 5 inches by 8 inches, you've got a canvas that's just the whole wall. Just go for it, you know. And you think, well, didn't realize I had all that, you know. And but you do. And I like that you know, the human mind is and the human potential is like a gold mine. I like that analogy. You know, it's just down there. You gotta dig it, dig for it. You think it's not there, but it's you have more than you think.
That's right. That's right. You know, my journey began several years ago with the Dave Ramsey program and kind of getting myself out of debt. And some people kind of, you know, way back in the day, I was banging the drum for that and created tension among people, you know, because I'm bringing up a sensitive issue like finances and money. But to wrap it into the story today, you know, that shifted my context forever. I will never look at debt the same way once you don't have any in your life. You know, I will never look at a car payment the same way, not just because Dave Ramsey told me to or something like that, but like when you drop these things out of your life and you realize that they are, you know, tethered lines. Say you're a hot air balloon and those are lines that are tethering you to the ground. And when you start cutting those things loose and you feel the freedom of floating away, and, you know, it's like, why would I ever want to go back into that world? And you can't do that sort of shifting unless you're willing to play with some of the context, unless you're willing to test and try out some of these different ideas than the way it's always been, or it is what it is, or it's just the way it works, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. Context shifted. I believe that for me personally, I live in a probably completely different world, you could say, than I did a few years ago in my own mind.
Yeah.
But I'm in the same house that I was in. I'm in the same, you know, place in the world geographically. But my mind is in a whole different context than it's ever been before. And I can thank other people for that. They've helped me do that. And you're one of them too, Michael. So I want to encourage people that are listening to this that, you know, the context shift is important. It feels real. You can feel it emotionally and physically too. But it's really the only real shifts that are out there, because you'll find that even if your circumstances outside of you change, if you live with the same context, it doesn't matter about your outside circumstances, everything will feel the same. Like, if you're broke and you make, you know, whatever, $100,000 in your family, or if you make $50,000 in your family, or if you make $20,000 in your family, or if you make $200 million in your family and you feel broke, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You always feel broke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's why you see guys like Donald Trump go bankrupt, you know, 20 years ago. Then he just... it's just like, it's just another day. He just gets back on the, he just knows he's got all this amazing potential, and he's already tasted that life. He knows what it's like. So he just rises back to the top. It's amazing, really.
Yeah. So absolutely. There's a context that says I can make it with my hard work and my energy, and I will find a way and I will make it, you know? Versus, here's something like, I'm just going to make this up out of my old mindset or something. If things work out, then I'll make it. You know, if I receive something from someone else, if I get a promotion from someone else, you know, then I'll have made it. If I win the lottery, that's, you know, all these things are from outside world. If the outside world changes, then I'll feel different on the inside. But the truth is, It's all inside of me where the work is to be done, and then that will produce the outside results that I want to see. And I'm only partway in my journey of flipping and flopping up over land to get to where I want to go. So if you want to follow me out to here, I can help you get there. And it's not all fun and games. I'll just tell you that much. It's hard. It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, but it's the hard things that leave the best reward. I mean, to me, you just won't have. We were talking about someone, me and my wife today, about who he's naturally charismatic, very good looking, but yet he's always getting in trouble. I mean, people. When he was a kid, people would literally come up to him and just give him money. I mean, the kid is a good-looking kid, and now he's in his 30s and has had success wherever he goes, but it's so short-lived because he's, I don't know, internally it's almost like he's never had to struggle for anything. And so it's like, you know, that only takes you so far. So I think to be naturally gifted or naturally talented at something or naturally good looking like me, it's not always a gift, you know. I mean, that's a joke. But you know, it's when you struggle you really appreciate it, and it really, you know, that's when you grow. I mean, we know that, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, it is the growth that creates the joy. It's that struggle that when you finally get there that you do feel it. And you're right, some people are sort of stuck being raised, being given too much, or being, you know, too well prepared, and then they didn't have to actually do that preparing for themselves. You know, maybe that's part of my journey too, is things were too easy in certain places when I was younger, and so now I'm having to learn how to do it on my own and you know, from the ground up, from scratch, and it's a lot harder than you think it's going to be. So that's my experience with it now. But the other thing is, context shifts as happen, and the reason that I wrote about this last week is because one conversation with my wife on a date, which I recommend take your wives on dates. I did that once recently. It's probably been months since we went on one, but we went on one. And we sat there for literally 30 seconds at dinner. The waitress took our drink order, and I said, "Honey, what are we going to do with our lives? Honey, what are we going to do with our lives?" And from that moment on, my whole context has shifted up until this very moment. My life felt different. I could physically feel the shift that happened all week long and while I was writing that post as well. Wow. You know, it was like, something happened. Neither of us can really pinpoint who said it first or how the ideas came about, but some things were said there that fell into place so perfectly. And it's like, oh my gosh, now I have a reason to, you know, keep pursuing and growing this coaching business. You know, now we have a reason to do certain other things in our lives. And it's like this feeling, you know, nothing changed. We were still sitting at dinner. We didn't win the lottery, nothing else happened, but two people had a conversation that internally changed our minds about something and stretched our context wide open. And where I felt like there was, you know, sort of a dead-end tunnel or just tunnel vision before of this is the way it has to be, it was like, boom, things were blown wide open. And, you know, It's been a constant conversation between us ever since, and that one conversation, it could be a huge turning point in our whole lives, and it's about shifting context. So that's why we'll come back to this over and over in these hangouts, but I just want to point out that this is something to think of. Wake up to it, you know, and see that it can be shifted. It doesn't have to just be concrete and a structure that we have to struggle against forever.
I love that. I love that, Aaron, because you, best of all, that happened with your wife. That's so great. When you can get on the same team with your honey, that's don't get no better than that. get on the same context, right? When you're living in the same story. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It's like, you know, we can have our own little worlds. Each of us have our own worlds that are adjacent to each other, and they sometimes, you know, kind of cross some paths. But when we had a true overlay of our ideas and in a conversation, it shifted and made that canvas kind of just go blank and like, whoa, we can create anything we want here, and we can do this. And we'll find out more about that as we go forward. But I invite people to just question, is it really what it is? You know, it is what it is. Question that in your life. Take a situation and question that. You know, you may find that it really isn't as stuck as you think it is.
You know what I'm going to do? When I get off this call, I'm going to go ask my wife, what are we going to do with our lives?
Hey,
let's
do
go
it.
See what she says.
I recommend that. You might want to take her on a date, get yourselves alone, you know, kind of get out of your normal world a little bit. I'm just telling you what worked for me.
That's always a good question to ask. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Everybody go do that. And we ate at Jose Pepper's, so that was a big date for us. We had a great evening that really, really opened things up for us. So it began with a question. What are we going to do with our lives? A sincere question, and not a victimized question like, oh, our lives are going to suck forever because of whatever, you know, we don't have this, we don't have that. It's like just very basic, open, just toss it out there and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you have that context, Aaron, and you know where you're going, those days that you feel like you're floundering, they're not so bad. But when you know where you're going, you know, it makes everything not so bad.
Yeah, that was really if you go back to the writing and when the fish finally gets plopped into the stream and the water and gets all cooled off and refreshed and is back in its natural habitat and knows how to handle itself because it's not, you know, a fish up on the bank, it's in the water. It's in a place of its natural abilities. That's literally the feeling I felt all week long after we had this conversation. It was like, you know, just rushes of cool refreshment and like, you know, natural agility and creativity, and all that stuff comes back to you in an instant when that context gets shifted. So,
good stuff.
All right, man. Well, thank you, Michael. We'll wrap up for this week, but we do have people watching these hangouts or listening to them, and I encourage you to come back with us and join us sometime for some great discussion. And I've been around on YouTube a little bit lately, and I am pretty sure that we're offering up some very deep thoughts and open, real stuff. So I'm proud of us, and thank you for that, Michael. I'm excited that this is going out there. So
yeah, I mean, yes, an honor to be with you. Always, always.
All right, man. Take care and see us back here next week.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Have a great week. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Michael.